Hello and welcome to this edition of Passionate About People. My name is Phil Dave. I am a broadcaster who works primarily in men's mental health and well-being and also in technology, amongst other subjects.
Hi, my name is Graham Godfrey, founder of Passionate About Business. I'm a business mentor and positive mindset coach. I host my own radio show on secondcityradio.net, and I love coaching owners of businesses and CEOs, and you can find that more on passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk.
In this edition, we are joined by some of the people behind the charity Spread a Smile.
My name is Josephine Siegel. I'm one of the co-founders of Spread a Smile, and primarily we entertain children with life-threatening illness in and out of hospitals.
Hello, my name is Vanessa Crocker, and I'm one of the other co-founders of Spread a Smile. I founded Spread a Smile 8 years ago with Josephine.
I'm Lucy Jackson. I'm the chief executive at Spread a Smile, and it's my privilege to work with Josephine and Vanessa and all of our wonderful team.
Josephine, you've already alluded to this, but Lucy, would you care to elaborate a little more, please, on what it is that Spread a Smile actually does?
Our mission at Spread a Smile is to entertain seriously ill and hospitalised children. And we do this by taking our teams of entertainers, so fairies, magicians, singers, face painters, therapy dogs, to visit children at their bedside. And it may seem to everybody listening that hospital entertainment seems like a fun add-on. But actually, if you ask any parent who sat hour by hour at their child's bedside, and that child who's really seriously ill, the profound difference that some entertainment to their child in hospital can make, and you'll quickly begin to understand the impact of our work.
Now, when you say seriously ill, because I think we need to get a level here, are we talking about those who can be sort of, say, on palliative care? The reason why I ask is because this already sounds like it must be very harrowing for those who actually do go and visit those patients. And I wonder sort of what sort of, how one actually goes about preparing themselves for this kind of work, because you must have to have a fairly strong stomach, I suspect.
The children that we see are really seriously ill, some of whom are in palliative and end of life care, and those are the children that really need our support more than ever. Is it incredibly difficult to see these patients? Yes. We work with the most incredible team of entertainers who are not only absolutely brilliant at what they do in terms of entertaining, whether that's our magicians or, our fairies or our musicians, but we also train them extensively so they know what to expect when they walk into a situation, so they know how to deal with the situation, and they know how to make a real difference to these patients. And we have a counsellor on our team. So at any point when it's too much for them, when things get difficult, when they need to talk, that counsellor is there and freely available for them to speak to. Because yes, of course, it is a difficult thing for them to do. But lots of the entertainers talk about what a difference it makes to their life and actually how it really enhances their life, which is something perhaps they hadn't thought about when they joined us.
I can imagine being in hospital. Well, I remember when I was in hospital when I was a young kid, and I've been in hospital even as an adult, but what a lonely place it can be. But also when you've got an illness and you're not quite sure what the end result is going to be. And if you're a child or a teenager, it must be even more stressful. I think what I'm really interested to know, because I was introduced to the charity, and even by the name Spread a Smile, it sort of goes straight to the heart. How did it all start? What was the beginning bit?
The beginning part was my nephew of 9 at the time was diagnosed with Burkitt's lymphoma, and he was a form of cancer, and he was taken into GOSH for 5 months. They were very grueling months because he had to have horrendous treatment of chemotherapy. I'm delighted to say he's now 18 years old and going to university, if he's got, in October, which is really very exciting. I was lucky enough to be able to visit him every day for 5 months, and I saw this very brave, incredibly scared, very frightened young man who was normally always running on a football pitch, laughing, joking with his mates, and just really hanging around being a typical 9-10 year old. And suddenly you get immersed in this world of hospitals. Having Monday night was my sleepover night with him, and to cut a very long story short, I realized that something had to be done to entertain these children. It wasn't the question of just buying a present for the child. You have to make sure that their mind is active and not necessarily focused on just their treatment. I know going forward that we are unable to make these children better, but one thing Spread a Smile does is we make a real difference to these children we visit. And as Lucy mentioned before, there is training for the entertainers, for the team members. And rather than get very sad with it, we are lifted by their spirits. Because when you walk into a room, and we do deal with palliative care, and we do deal with children with long-term illness, and you know that you aren't going to be able to make them better, but you can make a difference to their life and create a memory, that is what Spread a Smile is really about. All about creating a memory for that individual child and also their families together with their siblings, which I'm sure we'll talk about later on in the podcast with siblings.
And of course, GOSH being Great Ormond Street Hospital, so anyone who doesn't necessarily know that it is shortened to that. But Vanessa, from your point of view, I just wonder, the first thing that sort of springs to my mind is that this sounds like a fantastic organisation, make no mistake. I love the idea behind it, and I have nothing but admiration for all of you. But it sounds like it was created at a time when portable entertainments such as tablet devices and such like weren't necessarily as popular as they are now. And I just wonder whether or not, is there any competition in terms of sort of those who do use technology as a means of passing the time when in hospital versus the actual live entertainment and performers that you provide?
I think it's very different for a child to watch an entertainer or watch other entertainment on their tablet. For example, I don't know, one of the Disney channels or whatever they're watching, cartoons. It's very different having an entertainer actually in the room for a child and actually interacting with them and totally immersing and focusing on that child. I think it's very, very different. And I think, you know, our entertainers are absolutely amazing and they're very good at going in and adapting what they're doing for each child in terms of their age. You know, often we meet children who've got quite specific learning difficulties as well. And what we tend to do is as well, we try to find out what a child's interested in. So when we go along to a hospital, we might find that a child particularly loves magic, for example. So arrange for a magician to see them. Or it might be a little girl who loves fairies and we'll send a fairy in and they'll kind of enter a magical world together. Or a singer, some children absolutely love singing. So the entertainers will find, for example, some of the children absolutely love Disney songs, so they'll come in and sing Disney songs for the child. And I think that's a very, very different experience than, say, watching entertainment on a tablet.
You can almost imagine being a parent going to the hospital every day and a magician comes in or even a fairy comes in. It's going to be entertaining to the parents sitting there. I mean, time just must go incredibly slowly while you're in hospital. But what I'm interested to know is, look, we've been through a pandemic. So we know, and we've spoken on this podcast before about a pandemic being a change accelerator, pushing change, sometimes for the positive. So how did that affect the charity and the work that you were doing?
Back in March last year, we had to suspend our hospital visits overnight. I mean, one day we were, you know, we were in and we had plans and we took the decision that we could, you know, at that point, it was not safe for our team. It was not safe for the children's hospital. And we stopped our visits. And we very quickly launched what is now Spread a Smile Digital. So that consists of two things. So the first one is Smile TV, which is accessible via our website, spreadasmile.org. And that consists of videos of our entertainers doing what they do best. So they're singing, they're doing magic, they're messing around, they're telling jokes, making the kids laugh. We've got some celebrity videos up there. And it's on a safe platform, a safe video platform. So, and the kids, so there's no worries about what else they're going to click on or what ads they're going to see. And that is accessible 24/7. So even these kids who are having chemotherapy in the middle of the night, they can still access it. And actually, we were recently given a donation specifically to buy some iPads, which we gave out to some of our hospital partners. So for some of the hospitals, you know, and some of the patients, they don't have ready access to smartphones and tablets. So that gives, you know, additional access to Smart TV. But the other thing that we launched or our virtual visits. So it's still an entertainer visiting at your bedside, but it happens via Zoom. And that can be a one-on-one visit. So you'd have one child and they'd be on a Zoom call with one of our entertainers and one of our managers. And the brilliant thing about that actually was that these kids who were in hospital during COVID, things changed for them completely. So they were only allowed one parent to visit them at any one time. So imagine if, you know, that mom has to be there all the time living in the hospital, dad can't visit, siblings can't visit, grandparents can't visit. And suddenly that kid's world gets so much smaller. They closed playrooms, they took away shared toys, lots of services, Spread a Smile, for example, that were going into the hospital were suddenly taken away. So we, at the time, we thought we need to do all that we can to just keep entertaining these kids and give them something to do. So say we launched our virtual visits, either as a one-to-one with the kids, and it was great because their families could also dial in from home and they could have some meaningful time together and some, you know, just give them something to talk with their family about, you know, to refer back to. And then we started doing those and we were doing about 12 of them a week at the time. And demand rose so much that we got to the point where we were doing 50 of those calls a month. So just over 200 every month. And then they just expanded. So we started doing calls for entire wards, for example. So we know, for example, one of the wards at Great Ormond Street, that they have their call every Thursday at 3 o'clock. And all those kids could dial in from the ward, or if they were at home in between treatment, they could dial in. And we launched our after-school clubs. We launched our virtual, you know, holiday, our virtual holiday kind of camp activities for the kids. And we just were working really, really closely with all of the play specialists in the hospitals to understand what their objectives were, what their needs were, so we could deliver for them.
This sounds absolutely amazing, but it also sounds like a heck of a lot of additional work. And I just wonder how the infrastructure of the organisation maybe had to shift quite quickly in order to accommodate all of this newfound ways of running and operating.
Yes, we did have to shift very quickly. I mean, I look back on it now and think, how on earth did we ever do that? But we did do it. And our director of services did the most incredible job, you know, of managing all of that. And our whole team had to learn how to use Zoom. You know, now it comes, you know, we're supposed to do it with our eyes closed, but, you know, our team didn't know how to use Zoom. We had to completely upgrade all our, you know, all our safeguarding policy, because we didn't have, you know, none of our safeguarding looked at, you know, digital delivery. So that was a really big job for us. And it was just, and it was working out also what worked on Zoom. So if you're a magician, you can do a certain thing in a, you know, with a live audience, suddenly that does not work on Zoom, you know. And so, but also there were some things that they can do on Zoom that are really great. They can never do in a hospital, like setting fire to things, or, you know, that's obviously not allowed in hospitals. But I mean, so much change, as you can imagine.
Oh, I'm actually feeling a bit emotional, because there's so much amazing work that you're doing. And Josephine said earlier, you know, that we want to make a difference, and that you are making a difference. Number one, I'm trying to think, what would the world be like without you? I can't imagine what the world would be like without you. And you mentioned Great Ormond Street Hospital. Are you in any other hospitals around the country? How far does the network spread, and what are the plans for the future?
At the moment, Spread a Smile is in 14 locations. That's 13 NHS hospitals and one hospice, which is Noah's Ark Hospice, one children's hospice, I should say, which is Noah's Ark Hospice in Barnet. And we have plans within the next 3 years to be in 27 hospitals. We want to conquer London first. We want to be in all of the London hospitals face to face. And then once we've done that, we'll start expanding out beyond London, doing some hospital visits in hospitals closer to London. But what it means is the development of Spread a Smile Digital means we can become a national charity. We can be everywhere, you know, without, you know, in some cases having to step foot outside of our, you know, outside of our homes or outside of our office, which is an incredible thing. And we want to be able to offer hospital entertainment to every single child in the country that needs it.
Now, the thing is that it sounds like a very ambitious plan, but I'm guessing that each hospital trust works in a slightly different way. And I just, how do you work with the different hospital trusts? Because I'm guessing they're not all the same. They're not necessarily all open to the idea of letting a let's be honest, a group of, to them, strangers coming in and entertaining their potentially most vulnerable patients.
Yes, you're right. Every NHS trust is different. But, you know, we're an experienced team and we know just what to do to support every single one of them and make a difference for all these children. That's what we do.
And Vanessa and or Josephine, what sort of feedback have you had since the founding of Spread a Smile? Because I was trying to work out, sort of based on how many years you were implying you've been going, how many patients you must have literally caused them to smile.
Well, I think we've made, the feedback that we get from the families is absolutely fantastic. And I think what's very important about our charity is the relationship that we actually develop with the families. You know, they're just not names. They're not necessarily children we just see once. Because most of the children are so seriously ill, we see them over months, sometimes years. I mean, I'm working with a particular little girl, a teenager at the moment who's 15, who's been having treatment now for over 3 years. And, you know, the mother knows that when her daughter's going back into hospital, she can contact me and we will arrange entertainment and activities and things that we know that she's going to really enjoy and take her mind off her treatment. So, in fact, the mother contacted me yesterday. Unfortunately, she's been having a course of something called molecular radiotherapy, which is particularly grueling. She's in a room in total isolation. Her parents can't even go near her. And she's actually radioactive for a few days. So when she's out of hospital after her treatment, her brother actually has to move in with a grandma because it's very dangerous for him to be near his sister because she's still radioactive for a few more days. And during that time, she's incredibly artistic. So we organize art one-to-one sessions with one of our artists. She loves magic. And what's actually very nice about the way we can set up now on Zoom is that she'll have a magic session and her brother at home will also connect and they'll be able to enjoy the magic together. And I think that's really important because, as we mentioned before, the siblings, it's particularly difficult and hard for them. So for them to be able to engage in something like the magic together is particularly important for their family. So I think that's something that's very, the kind of personal touch and the relationship with the families, I think, is very, very important.
There's a couple of things I just want to add. So when we first met and we were talking about the children going through the treatment, I think it's like the fear of what's going to happen next. And as a child, I mean, it's, you know, if you're not ill, there's still fear. But if you're ill and you're not quite sure what's going to happen next, that's got to be difficult. But it's also the fear of the families and the brothers and sisters. I mean, what sort of support do they get?
Well, we feel really passionate about the siblings because the siblings really do suffer enormously. Sometimes I think as much as the patient, because the parents are always with the child that's in hospital and the parents are either left, the other siblings are either left with the grandparents or the aunts, the uncles and friends, and they really do get from one house to another house whilst their parents are in one room at the hospital with their sibling. So as a charity, it is very important to support those siblings. So we offer them entertainment. And as Lucy said earlier, sometimes you can have a Zoom call with a patient in the hospital and then you have the siblings on the other Zoom call. So they're all connected together. So they can have a shared positive experience, which is really special, bringing the family unit together. And often we've done patients with the siblings and their grandparents, even aunts and uncles on. So we do parties for them online as well, which is really special. But the importance of our work is vital because I'm working with a child in palliative care at the moment who's nonverbal. And I've been working with her for the last 6 months. And her and her mother come on Zoom virtually every week. And we've done poetry, we've done singing. And she can't verbalize anything, but we read her eyes and we read her tongue. And if her tongue is a particular way, then we know she's enjoying what she's seeing in front of us. But we are dancing, we're listening to songs, we're dancing to Mamma Mia. The mother will take the wheelchair and dance around the room with the grandfather. She has 2-3 living carers and we're all dancing. So I'm dancing in my TV room, with the Zoom on, and they're dancing and they're teething, swinging the wheelchair around. And it is really creating such a positive memory for her. We've also got wonderful poets who does the most wonderful poems with the parents and also the child. So the mother gave words to the poet, and the poet gave the most phenomenal, phenomenal poem. And again, we've created that. We've recorded it. She's got the video of it. So she now has a memory of what was said about that child with her. And the grandfather's enjoying it, and the grandfather's holding the little girl's hand, the young lady's hand. And these are the sort of magical moments that we are sharing, working with another family who's got siblings. Two of the siblings are very sick. One child, absolutely fine. And the other child that isn't having treatment is having singing lessons with us. So completely immerses herself in the singing. It's all about her, not about the siblings that aren't well, but about her herself. Mum could be with the kids that aren't well, but I've got my singing lesson weekly. And this is so important to all the families. And again, it allows the parents to be able to look at their child singing and having some fun and not just so miserable and so sad and so lonely and so scared.
I'll tell you what's incredible about this Passionate About People podcast is that we have such amazing people on here. And you don't have to be a celebrity or a superstar to be doing great things. You can just be you and provide amazing things for other people. It's inspiring being on. It's inspiring talking to you. I'd like to know if people want to give money to the charity, how do they go about doing that?
People can donate to us via our website. We would love that, obviously, spreadasmile.org. Or they could take up a challenge. I think we've still got some places left in the Royal Parks Half Marathon, which is taking place, hopefully, on the 10th of October. And they can, I mean, all our contact details are on our website. But yes, get in touch. We are, you know, we're not a massive charity by any stretch. And just know that any support, whatever level, can make a really big difference to us.
Are we allowed to be impertinent and ask sort of what your target is that you try and raise per annum? Or if you don't want to say that, you're most welcome not to.
I can say that. That's fine. We need to raise £1.2 million this year to be able to deliver 24,000 smiles.
Certainly not loose change. So I would suggest that if anyone who is listening does want to get involved, I think it would be a good idea just to remind them one more time of the website and where they go.
Come visit us, spreadasmile.org, or you can find us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc., at spreadasmileuk, and you can find out lots more about us, lots of ways to donate, support, and get involved.
Thank you so much for coming on this podcast. It's been an absolute joy to have you. If anybody wants to contact me, they can go to my website, which is passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk, or they can email me the same address, gg@passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk.
And if for whatever ridiculous reason that you would like to get in touch with me, you'll find me across social media at Mr. Phil Dave. All it's left for me to say is to Lucy Jackson, Josephine Siegel and Vanessa Crocker, thank you all very much indeed. It's been a real privilege talking to you and getting to know about the amazing work you do, and best of luck with everything you do moving forward. Thank you for speaking to us on this episode of Passionate About People.
Thank you, Phil, and thank you, Graham, for inviting us.
And please do remember to subscribe to this programme in your podcast application. From me, Phil Dave, and from Graham Godfrey as well, do join us next time here on Passionate About People. Goodbye.